Daddy Long Legs. Written by Jean Webster. Part 2. Dear Daddy Long Legs. Behold me, a sophomore. I came up last Friday, sorry to leave Lock Willow, but glad to see the campus again. It is a pleasant sensation to come back to something familiar. I am beginning to feel at home in college, and in command of the situation. I am beginning, in fact, to feel at home in the world. As though I really belonged to it and had not just crept in on sufferance. I don't suppose you understand in the least what I am trying to say. A person important enough to be a trustee can't appreciate the feelings of a person unimportant enough to be a foundling. And now, Daddy, listen to this. Whom do you think I am rooming with? Sally McBride and Julia Rutledge Pendleton. It's the truth. We have a study and 3 little bedrooms? Voila. Sally and I decided last spring that we should like to room together, and Julia made up her mind to stay with Sally. Why, I can't imagine, for they are not a bit alike, but the Pendletons are naturally conservative and inimical, fine word, to change. Anyway, here we are. Think of Jerusha Abbott, late of the John Grier Home for Orphans, rooming with a Pendleton. This is a democratic country. Sally is running for class president, and unless all signs fail, she is going to be elected. Such an atmosphere of intrigue, you should see what politicians we are. Oh, I tell you, Daddy, when we women get our rights, you men will have to look alive in order to keep yours. Election comes next Saturday, and we're going to have a torchlight procession in the evening, no matter who wins. I am beginning chemistry, a most unusual study. I've never seen anything like it before. Molecules and atoms are the material employed, but I'll be in a position to discuss them more definitely next month. I am also taking argumentation and logic. Also history of the whole world. Also plays of William Shakespeare. Also French. If this keeps up many years longer, I shall become quite intelligent. I should rather have elected economics than French, but I didn't dare, because I was afraid that unless I re-elected French, the professor would not let me pass. As it was, I just managed to squeeze through the June examination. But I will say that my high school preparation was not very adequate. There's one girl in the class who chatters away in French as fast as she does in English. She went abroad with her parents when she was a child, and spent 3 years in a convent school. You can imagine how bright she is compared with the rest of us? Irregular verbs are mere playthings. I wish my parents had chucked me into a French convent when I was little instead of a foundling asylum. Oh no, I don't either. Because then maybe I should never have known you. I'd rather know you than French. Goodbye, Daddy. I must call on Harriet Martin now, and, having discussed the chemical situation, casually drop a few thoughts on the subject of our next president. Yours in politics. J. Abbott. 17th October. Dear Daddy Long Legs. Supposing the swimming tank in the gymnasium were filled full of lemon jelly, could a person trying to swim manage to keep on top, or would he sink? We were having lemon jelly for dessert, when the question came up. We discussed it heatedly for half an hour, and it's still unsettled. Sally thinks that she could swim in it, but I am perfectly sure that the best swimmer in the world would sink. Wouldn't it be funny to be drowned in lemon jelly? Two other problems are engaging the attention of our table. First, what shape are the rooms in an octagon house? Some of the girls insist that they're square, but I think they'd have to be shaped like a piece of pie. Don't you? Second, suppose there were a great big hollow sphere, made of looking glass, and you were sitting inside. Where would it stop reflecting your face and begin reflecting your back? The more one thinks about this problem, the more puzzling it becomes. You can see with what deep philosophical reflection we engage our leisure. Did I ever tell you about the election? It happened 3 weeks ago, but so fast do we live, that 3 weeks is ancient history. Sally was elected, and we had a torchlight parade with transparency saying, MC Bride Forever, and a band consisting of 14 pieces, 3 mouth organs and 11 combs. We're very important persons now in 258. Julia and I come in for a great deal of reflected glory. It's quite a social strain, to be living in the same house with a president. Bonne nuit, cher daddy. Accept him as compliments. Trace respect you. Jesus. Votre Judy. 12th November. Dear Daddy Long Legs. We beat the freshmen at basketball yesterday. Of course we're pleased, but oh, if we could only beat the juniors. I'd be willing to be black and blue all over, and stay in bed a week in a witch hazel compress. Sally has invited me to spend the Christmas vacation with her. She lives in Worcester, Massachusetts. Wasn't it nice of her? I shall love to go. I've never been in a private family in my life, except at Lock Willow, and the Simples were grown up and old and don't count. But the McBrides have a house full of children, anyway two or three, and a mother and father and grandmother, and an Angora cat. It's a perfectly complete family. Packing your trunk and going away is more fun than staying behind. I am terribly excited at the prospect. 7th hour. I must run to rehearsal. I'm to be in the Thanksgiving theatricals. A prince in a tower, with a velvet tunic and yellow curls. Isn't that a lark? Yours. J. A. Saturday. Do you want to know what I look like? Here's a photograph of all three, that Leonora Fenton took. The light one who is laughing is Sally, and the tall one with her nose in the air, is Julia, and the little one with the hair blowing across her face, is Judy. She is really more beautiful than that, but the sun was in her eyes. Stonegate. Worcester, Mass. 31st December. Dear Daddy Long Legs. I meant to write to you before and thank you for your Christmas check, but life in the McBride household is very absorbing, and I don't seem able to find 2 consecutive minutes to spend at a desk. I bought a new gown, one that I didn't need, but just wanted. My Christmas present this year is, from Daddy Long Legs, my family just sent love. I've been having the most beautiful vacation, visiting Sally. She lives in a big old-fashioned brick house, with white trimming set back from the street, exactly the kind of house that I used to look at so curiously, when I was in the John Grier home, and wonder what it could be like inside. I never expected to see with my own eyes, but here I am. Everything is so comfortable and restful and homelike, I walk from room to room, and drink in the furnishings. It is the most perfect house for children to be brought up in, with shadowy nooks for hide and seek, and open fireplaces for popcorn, and an attic to romp in on rainy days, and slippery banisters with a comfortable flat knob at the bottom, and a great big sunny kitchen, and a nice, fat, sunny cook who has lived in the family 13 years, and always saves out a piece of dough for the children to bake. Just the sight of such a house makes you want to be a child all over again. And as for families, I never dreamed they could be so nice. Sally has a father and mother and grandmother, and the sweetest 3-year-old baby sister all over curls, and a medium-sized brother who always forgets to wipe his feet, and a big, good-looking brother named Jimmy, who is a junior at Princeton. We have the jolliest times at the table, everybody laughs and jokes and talks at once, and we don't have to say grace beforehand. It's a relief not having to thank somebody for every mouthful you eat. I dare say I'm blasphemous, but you'd be, too, if you'd offered as much obligatory thanks as I have. Such a lot of things we've done. I can't begin to tell you about them. Mr. McBride owns a factory, and Christmas Eve he had a tree for the employees' children. It was in the long packing room, which was decorated with evergreens and holly. Jimmy McBride was dressed as Santa Claus, and Sally and I helped him distribute the presents. Dear me, Daddy, but it was a funny sensation. I felt as benevolent as a trustee of the John Grier home. I kissed one sweet, sticky little boy, but I don't think I patted any of them on the head. And 2 days after Christmas, they gave a dance at their own house for me. It was the first really true ball I ever attended, college doesn't count where we dance with girls. I had a new white evening gown, your Christmas present many thanks, and long white gloves and white satin slippers. The only drawback to my perfect, utter, absolute happiness was the fact that Mrs. Lippitt couldn't see me leading the cotillion with Jimmy McBride. Tell her about it, please, the next time you visit the J. G. H. Yours ever. Judy Abbott. P.S. Would you be terribly displeased, Daddy, if I didn't turn out to be a great author after all, but just a plain girl? 6:30, Saturday. Dear Daddy, we started to walk to town today, but mercy, how it poured. I like winter to be winter with snow, instead of rain. Julia's desirable uncle called again this afternoon, and brought a 5-pound box of chocolates. There are advantages, you see, about rooming with Julia. Our innocent prattle appeared to amuse him, and he waited for a later train, in order to take tea in the study. We had an awful lot of trouble getting permission. It's hard enough entertaining fathers and grandfathers, but uncles are a step worse, and as for brothers and cousins, they are next to impossible. Julia had to swear that he was her uncle before a notary public, and then have the county clerk's certificate attached. Don't I know a lot of law? And even then I doubt if we could have had our tea, if the dean had chanced to see how youngish and good-looking Uncle Jervis is. Anyway, we had it, with brown bread Swiss cheese sandwiches. He helped make them and then ate four. I told him that I had spent last summer at Loch Willow, and we had a beautiful gossipy time about the Simples, and the horses and cows and chickens. All the horses that he used to know are dead, except Grover, who was a baby colt at the time of his last visit, and poor Grove now is so old, he can just limp about the pasture. He asked if they still kept donuts in a yellow crock, with a blue plate over it, on the bottom shelf of the pantry, and they do. He wanted to know if there was still a woodchuck's hole under the pile of rocks in the night pasture, and there is. Amasai caught a big, fat, gray one there this summer, the 25th great-grandson of the one Master Jervis caught when he was a little boy. I called him Master Jervy to his face, but he didn't appear to be insulted. Julia says she has never seen him so amiable, he's usually pretty unapproachable. But Julia hasn't a bit of tact, and men, I find, require a great deal. They purr if you rub them the right way and spit if you don't. That isn't a very elegant metaphor. I mean it figuratively. We're reading Marie Bashkirtseff's journal. Isn't it amazing? Listen to this. Last night I was seized by a fit of despair that found utterance in moans, and that finally drove me to throw the dining room clock into the sea. It makes me almost hope I'm not a genius. They must be very wearing to have about, and awfully destructive to the furniture. Mercy! How it keeps pouring! We shall have to swim to chapel tonight. Yours ever, Judy. 20th January. Dear Addie Longlegs, did you ever have a sweet baby girl, who was stolen from the cradle in infancy? Maybe I am she. If we were in a novel, that would be the denouement, wouldn't it? It's really awfully queer not to know what one is, sort of exciting and romantic. There are such a lot of possibilities. Maybe I'm not American, lots of people aren't. I may be straight descended from the ancient Romans, or I may be a Viking's daughter, or I may be the child of a Russian exile, and belong by rights in a Siberian prison, or maybe I'm a gypsy, I think perhaps I am. I have a very wandering spirit, though I haven't as yet had much chance to develop it. Do you know about that one scandalous blot in my career, the time I ran away from the asylum, because they punished me for stealing cookies? It's down in the books free for any trustee to read. But really, Daddy, what could you expect? When you put a hungry little 9-year girl in the pantry scouring knives, with the cookie jar at her elbow, and go off and leave her alone, and then suddenly pop in again, wouldn't you expect to find her a bit crummy? And then when you jerk her by the elbow and box her ears, and make her leave the table, when the pudding comes, and tell all the other children that it's because she's a thief, wouldn't you expect her to run away? I only ran 4 miles. They caught me and brought me back, and every day for a week I was tied, like a naughty puppy, to a stake in the backyard, while the other children were out at recess. Oh, dear. There's the chapel bell, and after chapel I have a committee meeting. I'm sorry because I meant to write you a very entertaining letter this time. Auf Wiedersehen. Share Daddy. Pax TB. Judy. P.S. There's one thing I'm perfectly sure of, I'm not a Chinaman. 4th February. Dear Daddy Longlegs. Jimmy McBride has sent me a Princeton banner, as big as one end of the room. I am very grateful to him for remembering me, but I don't know what on earth to do with it. Sally and Julia won't let me hang it up, Our room this year is furnished in red, and you can imagine what an effect we'd have if I added orange and black. But it's such nice, warm, thick felt, I hate to waste it. Would it be very improper to have it made into a bathrobe? My old one shrank when it was washed. I've entirely omitted of late telling you what I am learning, but though you might not imagine it from my letters, my time is exclusively occupied with study. It's a very bewildering matter, to get educated in five branches at once. The test of true scholarship, says chemistry professor, is a painstaking passion for detail. Be careful not to keep your eyes glued to detail, says history professor. Stand far enough away to get a perspective of the whole. You can see with what nicety we have to trim our sails between chemistry and history. I like the historical method best. If I say that William the Conqueror came over in 1492, and Columbus discovered America in 1100 or 1066 or whenever it was, that's a mere detail that the professor overlooks. It gives a feeling of security and restfulness to the history recitation that is entirely lacking in chemistry. Sixth hour bell, I must go to the laboratory and look into a little matter of acids and salts and alkalis. I burned a hole as big as a plate in the front of my chemistry apron with hydrochloric acid. If the theory worked, I ought to be able to neutralize that hole with good strong ammonia, oughtn't I? Examinations next week, but who's afraid? Yours ever, Judy.